Welcome to the Elijah Streams podcast. Our mission is to encourage you in your faith through a unique blend of patriotism and prophecy. And now, here's your host, Steve Schultz.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to Elijah Streams. Today is Tuesday, April 28th, 2026. I'm Kelsey O'Malley, filling in for Steve Schultz. Today's show is called Heavenly Journeys, where we interview people who've had either a near-death experience, they've been caught up and experienced heaven and or hell, and they share what they encountered, what they saw, what they heard, and the lessons that the Lord has taught them, why they have these encounters. And I just think it's so impactful because we're getting to hear things that we otherwise never would. They're revealing things that were maybe hidden that we didn't get to see, but they're getting to share their experience and what they've learned. And I think that's just so valuable as we walk with the Lord and learn just how much he loves us so greatly. Kim Robinson is joining me on the show today to share what she's recently encountered in heaven, what the Lord showed her, told her, and of course, all the wonderful lessons that she's learned from these encounters she's going to share with us today. But before we get started, here's a water well spot showing you where your donations go when you help us here at Elijah Streams.
Every day, children walk for water, not to a sink, but to a place where the water is dirty and full of hidden danger. This kind of water doesn't give life, it takes it. Sometimes they miss school. Sometimes the water makes them sick. In Uganda, illnesses from dirty water are a leading cause of death in children. But it doesn't have to be this way. Will you help bring clean water?
Donate online at ElijahStreams.com/donate. Or mail a check today to Elijah Streams, 525 2nd Avenue Southwest, Suite 629, Albany, Oregon 97321.
So many of you have helped us and partnered with us to dig wells in Uganda and change lives for people who do have to walk so many times a day, some very far distances to catch water and fetch water. So I just want to thank you guys for your love and your support and your heart to help us. It means so very much to us. And if you're able to today, please go online to ElijahStreams.com/donate and help us so we can see many, many more wells dug across Uganda. And if you're interested in heading over there with the team, Steve and Doreen are going, Mike and Lori, Sally, Yvonne and Mina, and also Michael Wilhelm will be there. You will get to see where the wells are dug. You'll get to experience what it's like to be blessed by ministering to these people. And it's going to be an awesome trip. I really encourage you to sign up. Please go to showmercy.org/ElijahStreamsUganda. And they're going to celebrate a brand new 1,000th water well, which is going to be an awesome celebration. I know your life will really be changed in the most beautiful way as you go on this trip. So please sign up if you're interested, and you're going to have a very blessed time. Well, my guest today started having heavenly encounters in the 80s. She was a Baptist and had absolutely no idea what was going on when she would spend time with the Lord and be caught up in a heavenly encounter. And since then, she has been to heaven many, many times, and she now shares what she sees and what the Lord is really teaching her as she goes, and it has benefited us so much. She's written many books about how wonderful heaven is, how fun heaven is. She's an itinerant speaker, and she's just so wonderful. So she's my friend. Please help me welcome today my guest, Kim Robinson.
Elijah Streams brings you the voice of the prophets. God's voice speaking into the earth. Now, God's people arise to commune between heaven and earth. Like Jacob's ladder, we'll journey between the realm of the seen and the unseen. Between the spirit and the natural. Welcome to Heavenly Journeys.
Kim, so good to see you.
Kelsey, you're still alive.
We're back together again.
Yay! The team is back together.
So, Kim, you've had so many encounters since the 80s. I'm sure you look back on the first one, probably never forgetting what it was like to experience that. And now, fast forward, you have been able to minister to others how they too can experience and encounter heaven. And have you seen a lot of success when you do get to teach people on how to encounter heaven? Have you seen many people get to experience it for themselves?
They always get to. And I love that, because I didn't know the Holy Spirit was teaching me. And, you know, when the way he taught me is the way I teach others, because that's the only way I know, you know.
Yes.
And come to find out that works, you know, other people there's a lot of people that come to the conferences, like the one that Nathan and I just came from Michigan. That was amazing. Aww. It was so amazing. And so, like, even the first session, I was teaching how the Holy Spirit taught me on how to see, how to step over, and how to, you know, hear, and, you know, and all the things. And then just getting to share about what heaven looks like was so incredible. Just the first session after I was sharing about what heaven looks like and how nice Jesus is and how nice God is, and just bringing down some of those religious mindsets of what people think, that all we're going to do is just bow before God, you know, or all we're going to do is just float around wearing diapers, eating grapes, you know, and, you know, getting rid of some of those things that we were taught, and telling what heaven is really like. That with just the first session, there were 10 people that accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They stood up, because Jesus made me stand up boldly when I thought I was saved, made me stand up boldly and confess in front of all my heathen friends that I was bringing to this conference to get saved, because they needed to get saved. Come to find out, they didn't do anything. I was the one that got saved. And I had to stand up and walk down these metal pews, or, you know, it was a football stadium, and walk up front, you know. So I'm like, I'm not going to let you just sit there. You're going to have to stand up and make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. And so 10 people got saved. And so that was just, that was worth it all. That, you know, that was worth the, you know, the airplane and all that. And the, just going to the conference, the very first, the second Uber driver that we had, he gets saved at the very beginning of all of this. He's got big tears rolling down his eyes, and he was just so ready. And then 10 people at the conference. And then on our way back, our last flight, we were in the women's restroom, and a lady gets saved in the women's restroom. Wow. I was like, so, you know, the harvest is ripe. It is so ripe, and we're harvesting, you know, we're harvesting. It was just so easy. And so I love this conference. I don't know if we can, I sent a couple videos of this of the conference in Michigan, which was amazing. Can we show those? Do we want to?
Sure. Yeah. Let's play those, and then we'll discuss them.
Okay.
Oh, let's do Daddy God. Yeah, what'd you see?
When he brought me up to the throne room, late teens, early 20s, and he was like white hair, and the love that came was spectacular. I've never had that. My father was an atheist, and I didn't have that love growing up. And he showered me with love, and he let me know how much he loves me and how much he cares about me, and that he's always been there for me. And that was the first time I encountered the Heavenly Father, and that's what I call him, because I always call my dad, Dad. So calling him Heavenly Father, like, separates that, you know? And it was just a feeling I've never felt. So it was Father for the first time.
Wow, praise God. But then I saw Jesus had his arms out like this, out wide, and then he just picked me up, but it was real cloudy. Praise God. So you just, that's amazing. That's that's really good. That's really good. So you keep practicing. Back of me. Today, we were facing each other. And he was just smiling. He looked very kind and gentle. And he took my hands. And he kind of swung me around. And as I used my imagination and listened to you talk, he led me to a sailboat. And we walked in the water. We walked down the dock and on the sailboat. And we were going down the sailboat. And all the animals started coming out. And they were saying, hi, hi. And then, as you said, go to see Daddy God. Then we got off the sailboat. And he led me up to see Daddy God, who was just glowing with light and warmth. And hair that was light, and he hugged me, and I sat on his lap, and then I got up.
Wow! Oh my gosh, those are
isn't that amazing?
Yes. Yes,
that's amazing. So that was just a couple that I sent in. So there was one, you know, There were so many, just so many first encounters of Jesus and Daddy God. And I kind of wanted to pick Daddy God because, you know, we're taught that you can't see God. Mm-hmm. And so when, you know, that you can't see God and come to find out that's not true,
yeah.
You know,
yes.
You can see God. And so I love those encounters, you know, the very first one, she's been to a couple conferences and just hearing her testimony of how Jesus has revealed the love of the Father to her is overwhelming. There's one lady that was there that she had 5 abortions.
Oh, wow.
And she didn't know any of their gender, never named them, anything like that. But in the meeting, we went to Jesus, and Jesus told her one by one what each baby was. She got to name the baby, and then Jesus brought the baby to her, which was now a child, and she was just crying, you know. And so she got to hold each baby, each child at this point, and got to hold them and tell them their name, and got to, you know, just that shame and the condemnation that she had carried for years. She's older than I am. And, you know, and so she'd been carrying that shame and condemnation for years, not knowing. She thought Jesus was mad at her, not knowing what her children were and all this. Yeah. And was just on, you know, there was a lot of those. And so it was just amazing. I loved it. There were just, you know, Nathan French was there, you know, with us ministering, and there were just bodies laid out everywhere. We're stepping over bodies to pray for other people. And, you know, some had catchers, some were like,
sounds like
anybody.
The Lord was really moving. I mean,
he
really
was moving.
Yes. Wow.
He was moving in Michigan. Oh. Yeah. It was so much fun.
Do you see that a lot of people that come up to share with you, Kim, after like what they saw or heard, that it brings such healing to them, like a level of healing they can't really otherwise get? It's that personal encounter.
Yeah. It's that personal encounter. I've had a lot of, you know, men, even grandfathers come up mm-hmm. and tell me, you know, that, you know, I've had, you know, every meeting I have so many people that come up and then just like, for the first time they were loved by Jesus, for the first time they felt loved, for the first time they saw Jesus and they felt worthy of being hugged by him. And, you know, having Jesus take them to the Father, you know, because going to God is kind of scary, but when you've got your best friend with you and yeah. he's taking you, you know, and letting Jesus take them around and show them different things in heaven is just, it's amazing. You know, like the one lady, she was saying that she was on a sailboat with Jesus. You know, I thought, how fun, because I didn't tell that. I didn't talk about, hey, Jesus, you know, in the encounters, and I was helping them walk, you know, mm-hmm. to relax and to trust their imagination and trust mm-hmm. what they think they maybe could be seeing.
Yes.
You know, I didn't tell them, hey, Jesus may take you on a boat ride, because he does. And so mm-hmm. I love the fact that she said that. I'm like, yes, he does. He will yes. take you in a boat. He will show you things. And so that just always makes me happy when people confirm, you know, confirm things that I've seen when I haven't told them. I'm just like, yeah, it's in the book.
Exactly. Did you read that part?
Did you read that? Yeah.
And well, Kim, I know this morning you were seeking the Lord as you always do. And Jesus really was like, you need to share something for the show specifically for today. So I thought, why don't we start there with your just most recent encounter from this morning?
Yeah. So this morning, so I've got my prayer room that I go to and I close the door and it's just Jesus and I, you know, and my soaking music. And so just this morning, when I was praying, Jesus reminded me of his robe, his kingly robe, which is different than some of, you know, sometimes he wears, you know, like a traditional robe that you would think just the white robe, but he has this kingly robe. And his robe, because he is the king, amen, right? He is the king of the kingdom. And so when he shows me, when you have these encounters, when I stepped over and he showed me this encounter of his and getting to see his kingly robe, it is amazing. His robe is, it looks like fur, but it's not fur. He didn't kill an animal to make a, you know, to make a robe out, but mm-hmm. It looks like fur. It has like long hair, what would look like fur, except it's alive. Oh, his wow. Robe, it moves. It's alive. The fibers move, and it is covered with jewels, big jewels that are inlaid. It's not, well, they're not even in, they're not like sewn in. They're just, I don't know how God does this, but somehow he can make this robe, and it has these big jewels that's in his robe, and it has gold, real gold that is woven through, and it moves, you know, so his robe is alive. The fibers move. The jewels are huge. They're beautiful. And the gold is, it moves when he walks and it trails behind him. And he has, you know, I've seen his crown, but this is just like, he wants me to talk about his robe. So yeah, the kingly robe, and you can see it. And the neat thing is it's long and it trails behind him, you know, and it's absolutely, you know, when you see that, it's just like, there's no other king. He is the king of all kings, and his robe is magnificent, and it's alive. That's the cool thing, is his robe is alive. You know, everything in heaven is alive. The flowers are alive. You know, everything's alive. So I just wanted to share that. He wanted me to share that this morning. So
when you saw him in that robe, or like that specific encounter, was there a reason unto he was wearing that? Like in heaven, is there specific times that he would be wearing that? Or was, do you know? Or
I think for me, when he shows me, when he has his kingly robe on, and he's not wearing his bellowing clothes like we're gonna go do something fun. Mm-hmm. When he has his kingly robe on, for some reason I need to be reminded that he is the king.
Yeah.
You know, and there's something going on probably on the earth. There's, you know, a war. There's, you know, some kind of a, you know, something going on. Mm-hmm. And he's just wanting to remind me, I am the king and I know what's going on. I have it under control, you know, and this is my kingdom. The darkness will not win over my kingdom. You know, and it's just, sometimes it just brings me comfort just to know that he is in control. It is his kingdom, and the darkness does not win, you know? And so I just, maybe that's, it will bring a lot of comfort to a lot of people today.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, you always share like the love of God is, you know, so overwhelming, and he just loves us and he loves us. And there's so many different encounters you've had where like the love of God has been the core of that encounter. And a lot of people on earth will see things like war and people, innocent people, you know, passing away or dying, and the evil, wicked people, just seems like they continue to rise in power, and there is no judgment. And can you talk a little bit about how God's mercy and justice and judgment, how does he show that? Because on earth, I think we're like, where is it, God?
Well, he keeps showing me his love.
Thanks for listening. The Elijah Streams podcast is made possible by donations like yours. To become a partner, go to ElijahStreams.com/give.
You know, because I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I am so quick to like, well, you don't deserve it. You know, you don't deserve, you know, the righteousness of God. And just like, you know, just like recently, he was showing me ministers, mm-hmm. you know, people who minister, how we need to be reminded, I guess, especially me, that I need to be reminded. And, you know, and I think maybe this will encourage people as ministers that want to be equipped for ministry, that he extends his goodness and his grace towards the wicked and towards the undeserving. He heals and he delivers the wicked and the undeserving, you know, that's hard.
Yeah.
You know, that's hard. That's hard to see. And he reminded me that I give air to the wicked. I give food to the wicked and the undeserving. And he says, I also heal the undeserving with signs and miracles. And even though, you know, and he was reminding me that it's because of his tender love for them that it continues on forever. And it was like my mom. My mom was, she had always thought, my whole childhood, she thought that God was mad at her. And so she automatically, you know, if you don't like me, I don't like you, you know. And so she thought that God was mad at her. So she never liked Christian people. She sure didn't like Christian ministers. She definitely didn't like women ministers. And so here's God bringing me up. And I know that mom doesn't like women ministers that share the gospel. And so I kind of kept a lot of, I never told her these encounters because I knew what she thought about it. But one time I went over to her house and she had always, for years, she had pain in her hip that was just really unbearable. Well, this one day I went over to her house and her hip, she was in so much pain. And I had so this undeserving love come up. It was rising up in me and I felt the love of God, even though she had never served God. You know, she was mad at God. She thought God was mad at her. So she was mad at God. But at the same time, this love comes up. And I asked her, I said, can I pray for you? And she was in so much pain. She said, yes. And that's number one. I'm like, really? Are you serious? You know, that's a God thing right there. That's an open door for someone, you know, that doesn't deserve, you know, it. And so she let me pray, a woman minister, laying hands, praying for healing, pray for her. And the awesomeness of God is that when I laid hands on her and prayed for her, the love, she was instantly healed. Her hip was instantly healed and she shot her hands up in the air, which she was raised Baptist. I didn't even know that she even knew to raise her hands, but so it was just went beyond that. So out of that love for the instant love that she felt for Jesus, she shot her hands up in the air and she started crying. She said, he still loves me. He's not mad at me. And just instantly received, because of God's love, because of his mercy for the undeserving, he healed her out of his love. She instantly turned and just gave her life to Jesus. And from that second on, she served God. She loved God. She started watching Christian TV. She even let me baptize her, you know, and so that was amazing. And so we have to remember, you know, as ministers, that God will heal the undeserving. And it's his love and his goodness a lot of times that will bring them to Jesus. Because just like my mom, she thought God was mad at her, you know, and it was his love that you know, that brought her to him. And, you know, and as ministers or people who minister, you know, may not be, you know, just somebody, you know, maybe you have a narcissistic friend or someone that's very narcissistic. It's all about them, you know, and you're trying to share about Jesus and about Jesus's love and what Jesus will do. And they take the conversation and they bring it, well, it's all about you. It's all about, you know, it's me, more me. And that weighs on people who's trying to minister Jesus to them. So you have to remember his tender love for them continues on forever. Or maybe you have someone that's a hypochondriac, you know, and that's somebody who's always sick. You know, they can't watch TV without picking up what's, you know, what the commercial is, you know, and they have more faith in doctors and in medicine and in Ozempic shots and the COVID shots and all that. And you're trying to minister the word. You're trying to minister what Jesus died for, that Jesus will give you self-control. Jesus, you know, will heal you. You know, you can have faith and that, and they're just like, they just don't listen, you know, and that just, it's just really heavy. It can really press you down and to make you feel like you have to make them believe what Jesus did. You have to make them, you know, you have to make them love God. And, you know, and he was reminding me that he brought people out of Egypt with signs, miracles. He brought them out. They loved God. And then they turned and went back, you know. And when you're ministering to someone and God has brought them out and they see, you know, I've had, you know, wives that God has delivered from a very abusive marriage and has delivered them. And now the wives they're prosperous. They walk in health. They walk in freedom. They walk in joy. But the ex-spouse sees them, and yet he doesn't turn. He won't change. And, you know, and as a wife, you're like, that really can weigh on you because you're trying to minister to your ex-husband, and he's not interested. You know, he's just not interested in things of God. And so what he was wanting me to share is, you've got to, when you're ministering to people, you've got to break off. And this is one of the things that I ran across a lot in this conference, you know, is even in this conference, I was running across a lot of people who were doing exactly this. And so I'm like, hey, I got a word for you, you know, because I had sent these notes in before the conference, and to break off that false responsibility. That it's our job to make them love God. It's our job to make them get free. And he was saying, it's a false responsibility. He says, you've got to release yourself from the heaviness and let his love, because his tender love for them continues on forever. So you can break that heavy yoke off. And just realize that it is not your responsibility to make them love God. And God's not going to make them love him. And he's not going to make them love you. And you're like, oh, no, God, just make them love me. And he's like, I'm not going to make, you know, and he
won't.
Free will is exactly right. God won't make someone love you, and he won't make them love him. But it doesn't change who he is. It doesn't change his love for the undeserving and for the wicked. You know, I'm ministering to a mom that's got 5 kids, pregnant with number 6, living in a motel.
Wow.
She tells me about the mice and the rats in the room. And she said, it's not a mouse. It's a blankety rat, you know, and we have rat, you know, but yet the boyfriend won't get a job. Well, he works kind of enough, you know, that pay the motel. It's not a hotel. It is a motel. It is a motel, you know, with mice and rats. And at the same time, God will give him, the boyfriend, food and air, even though I'm going, you need to get a job, buddy, and get your, yes, you know, your girlfriend and all these children that belong to him out of this motel. But I have to remember, it's not my responsibility. Mm-hmm. And to break that heaviness off and let God's love, because God loves him. Mm-hmm. He doesn't change his love for them. And so he just, I love, and then he gave me this scripture, and just to kind of to remind us, he gave me Proverbs 17:22, that a joyful, cheerful heart brings healing to both body and soul. But the one whose heart is crushed struggles with sickness and depression. And, you know, and it's hard, you know, because I could feel the heaviness. Mm-hmm. And the discouragement, because I couldn't make the boyfriend love God. I can't make him love God. And that weighs on you. And I could feel, you know, just the starting to partner with depression. And a lot of the people, you start partnering with that depression and you start like, you know, I don't feel so good. My head, mm-hmm, my shoulders, my lower back hurts, you know. And so you've, mm-hmm, got to release that. And a cheerful, joyful heart brings healing to the body and the soul. So you've got to keep yourself free from the false responsibility. And then he reminded me of 1 Corinthians 2:14. He said, you know, like when you're trying to when you're ministering to these people, to, you know, to the undeserving, unloving, someone living in an entirely human level rejects the revelations of God's spirit that you're trying to give them, for they make no sense to them. Like they cannot understand the revelation of the Spirit because they are only discovered by the illumination of the Spirit. So they, you know, when we're trying to minister Jesus and life and what God will provide for them, they can't understand it because they're totally in the flesh. They're totally in their human mind, but that doesn't stop God from loving them.
Yes.
You know, so you can love them because God loves them, and you can walk in love towards them because God still loves the undeserving. He's still going to give them air. The people in Iran, he's still going to give them air. He's still going to give them food, you know? And so it's not your responsibility. So you got to break that off.
I think about when Peter talks about, I think it's in 1 Peter 3, he says, wives, win over your husbands, you know, without words. So it's almost like just
or sticky
your
notes.
Life. Yeah, your life lived and your joy and the fruits of the Spirit alive in you can be something that may win them over. Because, you know, a lot of times we so badly want to win over with words or but let me show you this or tell you this or explain this better. And sometimes it's better just your life lived and the example that you set and like you talk, you know, the love of God that is from him through us. It's not like we can love someone in our own flesh. There's no way that right. I could ever love someone like that. I would be like, get out now. We're done. Don't ever talk to me again. But in the Spirit, there is a compassion that you have. And I think praying and asking the Lord for that, like, Lord, help me have compassion for this person who's lost, or help me love them even though this is happening. You know, give me strategies, Lord, to still, you know, sit and talk and listen and be there for them, even though it's so difficult. And I think the difference between of what you're talking about, the difference between God who gives us free will but yet fully loves us, even while we were sinners, the Bible said, yet Jesus died for us, even while we were sinners. And then I think about the total opposite of like witchcraft, which witchcraft will say, do this spell to get them to love you. Do this to get, it's like you're forcing them to love
it's
you.
It's control, right?
It's control. It's the total opposite of God. I was just thinking that when you're talking, I was like, oh, that's the total opposite of New Age witchcraft. Is God loves them so much, he gives them the choice to choose him. And then within Satan's kingdom, he said, oh, well, if you do this and manipulate and control, you force them to love you or whatever their goal
act is. Like they love you.
Yes.
Yeah.
So God is so much greater and his love is so, so much more than we can even comprehend. Do you feel a different type of love when you're in heaven as opposed to when you're on earth, or do you have the same access to that same love no matter where you are?
So it's different.
Okay.
Yeah, it's different. So when, like this, when I'm starting to feel that heaviness and the pressure and, you know, and all the stuff, he gives me these encounters in heaven so I can kind of like, oh yeah, it's not about me. You know, it's not my responsibility. And I'm able to get free of the false responsibility that it's my job. And then I just receive his love. And he just like, he fills me back up again with his love that is just so much pure. And it's so much better, you know, and it's so pure and it's a lot lighter, you know, it's so light. And then, so when I come back out of these encounters, now I can see that person that I've been ministering to through not having the heaviness and the responsibility, false responsibility.
Yeah.
But I'm able to walk towards them and minister towards them with a new love, a rekindled love, and see them through just like what this, you know, this what this through I can see him or see them through the tender love, knowing that God's love for them will continue on forever. Maybe my relationship with them isn't going to be forever. It's just for a short time to minister to them. Mm-hmm. And then God removes me, but knowing that his love for them will continue on forever is very freeing.
Yes.
You know? And so I love when I have these encounters in heaven, because I can get refreshed, filled up, leave the discouragement because they're not listening to me. You know, I can leave that there. I can leave it, get refreshed, come back and love again, love some more, you know, and because his love is pure.
Well, Kim, would you share about your encounter from March 31st? Pulling the Band-Aid off the world. Gonna have to break that one down for me.
So I was praying and I saw this huge, gigantic Band-Aid, and I was just like, so I knew that there was something to do. And so I was just focusing on this Band-Aid, and God was showing me, he says, whenever you have a wound or an injury, you put a Band-Aid over it. Mm-hmm. And after time, you may lift up the corner just to kind of see how it's healing. And then you realize that maybe the edges have kind of healed a little bit, but when you pull the Band-Aid off, he says, you see that it has gotten infected and the wound has gone deep. Mm-hmm. And he said, I am pulling the Band-Aid off of the world. The infection needs attention. I am exposing it to the sun. Mm.
Dual meaning.
dual meaning. I'm exposing the infection to the sun, to the wind, dual meaning, and to the light, dual meaning. He said, this is, you know, I had both going.
Yeah.
He said, this is what is needed for the earth to be healed. My earth, my world that I created grieves me that has gotten so infected. He says, when you take the Band-Aid off, the edges may be healed, but the center is deep and is wounded and it needs to be cleansed. Mm-hmm. And he said, some say, I don't want to see, I don't want to look, I don't want to know what's going on. It's like, I don't care anymore. I don't want to hear about all the stuff. I don't want to know anymore. He said, but antiseptics must be applied with constant attention, love, and care. And I love this earth that I created. I am getting it back into health. The Band-Aid has been pulled off. Now the healing has begun. And so I, you know, and so that's kind of a good graphic because I think a lot of us have been there, you know. And so as the Band-Aid is pulled off and the infection is being exposed even more, know that God is exposing the deep corruption, the infection, to the sun, the sun, S-O-N, to the wind, the Holy Spirit, and to the light of God. And it will get healed, but it takes time. You know, it takes time to apply, you know, Mercurochrome and, you know, and alcohol and love and attention. And, you know, so we just have to give God time that he knows what he's doing. He is the king, right?
Do you think within that visual, like when he was showing you that and he was saying, you know, you have to look and take your time to put on the antiseptic and stuff, did you feel like that was really the church? Like you can't look away from the wound that's there. Like if you're a doctor or a nurse and they're like, okay, sew this up, and you're like, no, I can't look, it's not going to go well. So do you think that was like him letting us know that as the church and as the body of Christ, we need to be aware of the parts of the world that are infected so we can help treat what's going on?
That's really good. I hadn't thought about that, but that's really good.
Help Elijah Streams continue to reach people around the world. All donations go toward making Elijah Streams and the Elijah Streams podcast possible. Visit ElijahStreams.com/give and become a partner today.
You know, and like even this conference, we have so many people that come from different churches, different denominations, and they talk to us about things that they can't talk about at their church.
Yeah.
You know, they can't go to their pastors and say, hey, I am being plagued with sexual perverted demons because they're taught that, hey, a Christian can have demons. So they can't go to the pastor and say, hey, I've got these demonic perverted demons and thoughts, you know, and that's their infection, you know, because the, you know, or they can't go, maybe they're on the deliverance team and they can't go to someone and say, hey, I've got this infection going on. I have a lot of sexual perversion in me. And I need help, you know? And so they just keep the Band-Aid over themselves because they, maybe they don't have anyone to go to. And, you know, and so we've got to be willing to look at the infection. We've got to be a safe place for someone to come up to and say, I can't tell my you know, pastors' wives have come up and said, I can't tell my husband. I can't tell
the
congregation.
That was like Yvonne Atiyah, when she first was encountering the Holy Spirit. Yvonne Atiyah's testimony is that. She's like, Mina was so up high in this religious orthodoxy that I couldn't tell him anything that was happening to me.
Wow. Yeah.
So that happens a lot more than we think.
Yeah. Yeah. I get quite a few people that will come up to me, you know, and because of their position, they don't have anyone to talk to, you know, and so they need us to be a safe place that they can come to and let us take off the Band-Aid and allow the Holy Spirit to get in and to clean out. You know, he showed me and he talks to me when I, you know, and just practical things. So this isn't in the notes. This is kind of a freebie. So I felt like I was supposed to clean out the dishwasher. Whoever wants to clean out the dishwasher. I never thought about cleaning out the dishwasher. So just recently I'm just like, okay, how do you clean out the dishwasher? So he says, you got to take off the first filter, which is kind of high. So you take off the first filter, you know, and you clean out the filter. And then, so you have to run it under the hot water. You've got to get a scrub brush, clean out the gunk that's in the filter of the mind. You know, the high filter, and he was showing me like the top filter is like what your thoughts are. Clean out your thoughts, get your thoughts cleaned out. And then come to find out there's another filter that's even bigger that's at the bottom of your dishwasher, but you've got to unscrew what has been holding it down. And so as I took these screws off and took off the bottom filter, I'm like, that's disgusting.
That is disgusting. You want to come eat at my house? No.
Yes, I would.
Yes. Now my dishes are clean. Yes. But I took the bottom filter off, and I didn't know that what was inside underneath the bottom filter is gunk. Yeah, and so when I removed the bottom filter, I had to really get in there with a sponge and a scrub brush and paper towels and, you know, vinegar and, you know, and just really, and there's like a little tunnel in there and you got to clean out the tunnel. You got to clean out where the water comes in. You got to clean out where the water comes in. So when the water comes out, it's pure and you're not spewing out fungus on people, you know?
Yes.
And so that was really good, you know, because we've got to be clean. We've got to allow him to unscrew the filters and let him clean out what's in our hearts, in our thoughts. And so when we minister to people, minister healing to people, that it comes out of a pure heart, you know, and you know, and so that was a freebie. So everybody's going to go, oh, I'm going to go clean out my dishwasher now. Then you've got to run some vinegar through it all. So now everything's clean. But I thought, isn't that funny how he uses the practical things to talk to us?
Most people that I talk to and that have like revelations like that, where it's so just like, it's attached to something practical they were doing. Like I was cleaning out this, I was doing the yard, I was doing whatever. I was on a walk, I saw this. It's like the Lord will use experiences in our life to teach us from the word. And I can go, there was like multiple scriptures that were coming up in my head as you were talking. And I was like, yeah, out of the
abundance of the heart. I couldn't think of anything when I had my hand in the dishwasher.
So
that's good.
It's all dirty. Then what's going to come out of the water pipe? Like you said, the fungus. Well, yeah, because that's dirty. So whatever's in there is going to come out. And I love that that's the way God will teach a lot of us, like just through the practical things we do every day in life.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, so it's not always when I'm camping and things like that. It's just the practical things. And I sure wasn't going to tell the world that I had my dishwasher, but I just kept seeing it. So like, okay, yeah, I'm going to go there.
Share.
So
oh, I gotta we share, all, I'm so. Sure we all, if we cleaned it out, we're like, oh my gosh, it's crazy.
Disgusting.
The dryer vent too can be like so occluded and you go to clean, you're like, how is it? My clothes even drying? This is horrible.
This is horrible.
I mean, it is. It's amazing how once you get in there, then you start cleaning everything, and then you're like, "Well, I need to do this." And it's probably a good thing though to keep our.
It
house
is a
clean.
Good thing. I've got a little portable steamer that I love. I was talking to somebody at the conference, and I'm like, when I get my portable steamer out, it's just addictive, you know, because you steam one thing, you get one little crack clean, you're like, oh,
yeah.
The dog runs, the husband. Been run. It's like, no, get that thing away. We're just steaming everything, getting it all clean.
Think of all the things I could clean, you know? Yes. And your husband's like, I'm going golfing. Bye.
Take my golf clubs and run, you know? And so, you know, and so sometimes it's heavy things like that, you know, that God wants to show you. And then other times it's, you know, it's light things. It's light, happy things. Like one of the encounters that I had with Jesus in heaven is that he wants to show you, not only is he interested in the gunk that's in the pipes and in your thought life and how it feels to minister to people. And he wants you free of false responsibilities and he wants your heart cleaned out, and your mind cleaned out. But then he's like, okay, it's time for you to come away. And so one of these encounters that apparently I needed to have is Jesus was showing me. I just stepped over and Jesus had on his cowboy boots and his cowboy hat. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's weird, you know, because that's not so
that's
you've got
not something you normally see.
That is not something you normally see. Mm-hmm. But so Jesus took me and we went dancing and he loves his boots. We were dancing in sawdust. He loves his cowboy hat. And we were line dance. He does all kinds of dances, you know, and not only does he love to have fun,
He loves to have fun, and he wants us to step over and be with him and to have fun with him in heaven and to go dancing with him. And some of the couple of the scriptures, I'm like, I need some scriptures about you dancing, Jesus, you know, and he's like, I love to dance. I love to laugh. And he reminded me that God invented laughter.
Yeah.
You know,
yes,
we laugh because God laughs.
That's right.
You know, and then he gave me this scripture of Proverbs 8:24. Before the oceans, depths were poured out, and before there were any glorious fountains overflowing with water, I was there dancing. And as you know, another word for dancing means to twirl, to kick, and you know, are born. And so he loves to dance. Jesus loves to dance. And so, you know, in some of these encounters, he may take you dancing. So, you know, trust your imagination, trust what he's trying to show you. And then just write down from that one, he showed me Proverbs 8:25. I was already there dancing. Once again, Jesus dances. Proverbs 8:30. As I playfully rejoiced before him, I laughed, played, and so happy with what he had made. So Jesus, he's happy. He plays. He dances. He's not all worried. He's not all depressed. He's not all sad and discouraged. You know, he loves when we go and visit him and to get some of this stuff off, you know, this false responsibilities, the discouragement because we couldn't make them love God, you know, to get rid of some of the discouragement because we couldn't make them, you know, believe that Jesus died for them or that Jesus, you know, paid the price so they could walk in total health. You know, we couldn't make them believe the scriptures and, you know, because you can't do that.
Yeah.
So
Kim, I have a question about seeing Jesus with a cowboy hat and cowboy boots. So do you like country music? Is that something that you
No,
like?
No, not
like,
really.
Okay. Cause I was wondering like if you like a certain type of genre of music, or maybe you did ballet growing or, you know, whatever, is that something that you would more likely see in heaven? I was just wondering if, you know, someone maybe dances salsa, would they do that in heaven with Jesus as opposed to line dancing, or would everyone just see him line dancing because that's what he's doing in that moment? How does that work?
Well, like during the Olympic, it's not that I don't like country music. It's if it's Christian country music, I don't mind it, you know, but I don't really wear boots or cowboy hats because it flattens my hair. You know, I don't have so much hair. But yeah, but if you love country music, I'm sure that that's one of the things that he would show you in heaven, that so does he. You know, he also takes me ice skating in heaven, and he will couple skate with me, and he will skate with me, and the Holy Spirit will come and skate, and the angels will come and skate, you know, on the ice with Jesus and I. So Jesus and I will skate together and things like that. When he takes me like skating, ice skate, dancing, he's reminding me and he's teaching me to, you know, to mold into him. You know, those couples that skate, you know, during the Olympics, they win because they know everyone, they know their partner's movement. They can just the shift of
in sync.
Know what they, yeah, just so in sync. And he's wanting me to be in sync with him. And I don't have to go by my notes. I can just be in sync with him, you know, and learn to just dance with him. And so, but he loves all kinds of dancing, and then we dance in the throne room, which is just like a free for all. You know, everyone kind of dance. And that's when Jesus does just kind of the funky dance. It's kind of a Jewish dance, you know, where he's dancing freely. And there's everyone just kind of dancing freely, praising Jesus. And
that's wonderful.
So he's just a really happy person.
Yes. And that's what's so great about spending time with him. You know, it's like you said, you come out of your prayer closet a different person, because we're out of the flesh and we're in the spirit in that moment. And
yeah,
I mean, he changes us. He really does, from glory to glory, right, Kim? So,
right.
Would you pray for everyone? And I know you really want to focus on all of the stuff that you really hit on in the beginning. Yeah. Because yeah, we have false, all felt false, that way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So Father, I just thank you, Lord, every person who ministers or that you've been ministering to your family member or to a friend or just, you know, to people, and you feel like that it is your responsibility. Maybe you were the oldest in the family and you were having to raise up your siblings because your parents were gone and there was just a false responsibility put on you. I just ask that right now, put your hands on your heart and say, I break and I release this false responsibility of raising up people. I release this false responsibility of making people love God. I release this false responsibility of making my husband love God, my siblings love God, believe the scriptures. I release this false responsibility off now. In the name of Jesus, and I receive a fresh love. I release all the gunk that's all the filters. I release all the gunk in my mind, in my heart that I have been holding on to, all the yuck. I release the bitterness, the anger, the resentment now. I release it now, and I receive your pure water to flow through my heart, come through my mind, purify my words with your pure love for people that I can see them the way you see them. I see them, I love them because you love them, and I don't have to make them love you anymore. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Isn't that feel good? I feel better.
Yes.
I feel better now.
Yeah. Any time, it's so easy for us to have the Lord kind of start to poke at us a little, like, hey, you're doing this. And we're just kind of like, okay. And then the thing is though, when you actually come to him and give him that burden, it's like you feel so much better. And there's such a lightness and a freeing when you give it to the Lord. But like our flesh just wants to be like, no, I'm fine. Or no, I'm not doing that. But then once we come to the Lord, and that's why I love when you pray, Kim, because a lot of times people feel uncomfortable. I don't know what to say. I don't want to do it alone. So it's such a great opportunity for people. Just give it all to the Lord. Just let him lift those burdens. So I love right. when we pray at the end because it's so powerful and we can all do it together. And maybe right. you're not dealing with that, but you can agree with for other people that are going right. through that. Yeah. And so, Kim, I know you have a few more conferences coming up soon.
Yeah.
And I know when you do your conferences, a lot of times you help lead people through encountering heaven and just like you talked about today. So would you share with us, where are you going to be in the coming future?
Yes. Just coming up real quick is May 4th. I'm going to Golden, Colorado, and I'm going to be ministering there 2 days on May 14th at 10:30 in the morning. So if you missed that one, come on Saturday on the 16th in Golden, Colorado. And it's the place is the Dwelling Place. And so this is a free conference. So there's no fee to get in. And I teach people, I share new encounters. I share, you know, so it is a great time to bring someone that maybe isn't saved or they're not sure if they want to go to heaven because they think it's just full of old people, you know, and all you're going to do is, you know, be floating around wearing diapers and eating, you know. And so come and hear what heaven is really like. Maybe you've lost someone and you just need to know what are they going to be doing? What are they doing there? And so it's just real refreshing. I love sharing about heaven and walking people so you can do this. So you can go home and you can practice. And so that's May 14th and 16th. That's just around the corner. And then right after that in June 5th through, look at that. It's Kelsey.
We're going back to Moravian Falls, what's going to be in Wilkesboro, North Carolina. And it's Prayer Mountain, right up there at Prayer Mountain. And it's a 3-day women's retreat. And we're going to be with the new Donna Rigney, the newlywed yes. Donna Rigney, and with Nathan French and Kelsey. And I hope we have some catchers because there's going to be people everywhere. And Steve Mitchell. I love wow. Steve Mitchell. You can tell that Steve Mitchell worships God at home, that he has a relationship worshiping God because he brings us right into the presence of God. I absolutely love, I have his CDs. And so I have his CDs on my CD player and I love it because I can just turn it on and I don't like taking my phone into my prayer room.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yep.
Yeah. And so I listen to CDs because I don't, like I said, I don't want to take my phone in my, because before I know it, I'm scrolling, you know, mm-hmm. and before I know it, I have bought something on Amazon. You know? I'm just like, I've got to have that. So I don't even take it.
I got to clean my dishwasher later. I need a new scrubber.
Yeah. I need a new scrub. I need some new, yes. You know.
That happens to all of us when we go into prayer time. Like, yes. It's good not to have your phone.
Don't take your phone. So anyway, so that's going to be June 5th through 7th. And you do have to register to that. And so that's getting booked very quickly. If it's not, I don't think it's already booked. There may still be some rooms left, mm-hmm. But you go to the Heart of God Retreats and get that scheduled. She's got some great things planned and you're going to love that conference. It's a 3-day women's retreat up towards Prayer Mountain, and you go up there and visit Prayer Mountain and the lodge and get some prayer. It's going to be amazing.
And I think, let's see. I'm thinking she has one more conference, but no, it's your audio book.
Oh yeah, I have an audio book. It's talking about CDs. It is a 4-set CD because people still have CD players. It's 4-set, and I'm actually reading that. It is my Southern twang and the whole bit, and that's a 4-set CD. And then, so you can order that. That's only on the website. You can only get that from the website. If you go to the website and click on shop, that's under the shop. And I'm doing a special right now for anyone who would like to partner with me, either a one-time partnership or if you'd like to be a continuous partner. I'm offering the Sozo thumb drive, which has been real popular. It's a USB on one end and a USC on the other. And it's a 1-hour Sozo. So a Sozo is healing the heart. It's getting the, you know, I don't want you to have to go stick your head in the dishwasher, you know, to get delivered from all the yuck, you know, but a Sozo heals your heart. And I walk you through this to find out where the blockage is. How come I can't see Jesus? How come I can't see Daddy God? The generational curses. And I'm offering that as a gift for anyone who would like to partner with me from today to the end of May. So that's a free gift for anyone who would like to be partners. So that's and helps me to take this, you know, take this encounter. And like this last conference, 10 people received Jesus just because they had heard that heaven is fun.
Yeah.
And they want to go. They want to be with Jesus. You know, Jesus isn't mean. God's not mad at him. So thank you, everyone, for helping me to go and take the message that heaven's fun and real and fun.
Great. Well, Kim, thank you so much for coming on and sharing, you know, real life and your real walk with God, what it looks like to spend time with him and how he talks to you. And I mean, it's so encouraging to all of us. Thank you for praying for us too and helping us grow closer to Jesus. We love you. And I know I'll see you soon. I'll see you in person here soon.
I'm very excited.
And you guys won't want to miss tomorrow. Mike Thompson will be on the show. Mike is always, he's a really powerful prophet. Like his encounters in the third heaven and the way he experienced, like he'll see battles and what the enemy's plans are. And it's really powerful. So you won't want to miss tomorrow, and we will see you all then. We love you so much. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. Bye-bye.
This has been Elijah Streams. Thanks for listening. For more episodes like this, you can listen to the Elijah Streams podcast at ElijahStreams.com on Apple and Spotify. Join us live every weekday at 11 a.m. Pacific time at ElijahStreams.com, Rumble, and Facebook. Elijah Streams is part of Elijah List Ministries. Go to ElijahStreams.com/give to become a partner today.